Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms both in the system and within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon. Everybody, this is Sue Supriano, and we're at a demonstration, a rally in San Francisco on March 22nd, a rally against the war, protesting the attack of Iraq. There's lots of noise in the background. We're trying the quietest place we could, which is not quiet. I just met somebody who doesn't want his name to be said, and I thought it was a great opportunity to interview him because he has some personal experience in the war that it's good to hear straight from the horse's mouth here, as we say. So tell us about your experience.
Okay, I was flying with a special mission squadron out of Korea. One of our missions was to fly air support for the French in their fight in Indochina, even though we were allegedly not involved. Another major mission that we had, aside from that, was flying weapons into the Indochina area while the CIA was organizing guerrilla bands in Laos and up in the mountain areas. And the third mission we had was flying into the upper parts of Thailand, into dirt strips, loading up 5,000-6,000 pounds of raw opium to fly back down to Japan to Tachikawa Air Force Base. For what purpose, I don't know. All I know is that we were flying raw opium. That was about it.
Wow.
As succinct as I can make it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and was this like really being hidden and smuggled, or was just, you know, out in the open among the people who were doing it?
We knew about it. We were flying unmarked aircraft, but the personnel that were flying the aircraft were U.S. Air Force personnel.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people don't understand the depth of the involvement with drugs in our system, with the corporations and the military. So you think it was coming from those hill tribes?
It was coming from the Chinese in the that would be the west end of Thailand, up in the mountains, where the Chinese warlords that were opposed to the regime in power in China at the time had taken refuge. And I think they were using it, although I have no proof of this, that they were using it to finance their operation. And I believe that our Central Intelligence Agency was using it to finance their operation.
So where did it go?
We'd take it as far as Japan, to a U.S. Air Force base in Japan, and from there I have no idea where it went.
Wow. Well, that's really good to hear straight from you, because I've heard a lot, you know, that the drug running has been involved with the military and all these wars of the 20th century. So it's good to hear some direct experience about that, because a lot of people would find it very surprising, and there's others who wouldn't. Have you told many people this story?
Not really. Most people don't want to believe you. They think we're pure and innocent and play by the rules. Although I think I've had enough experience over the years to know better.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I don't think there would be anything that I should mention.
Thank you very much. Well, we're out on the streets now, so you can hear a lot more background noise. But we were continuing to talk about war, and you were saying that you've been a cynic since the middle 50s, and that your neighbors called you, what did they call you?
A traitor, because I was against the Vietnam War when it started, because I seen what the French were doing there and knew that we were going to lose right from the beginning. And I feel that this is quite possible in this mess that our government has gotten into this time, because I think it's going to degenerate into another war like guerrilla war like the Vietnam War.
And, of course, Americans just don't get it a lot of times about war and how horrendous it is.
I just wonder if a lot of Americans get it about much of anything, to be honest.
So you're talking about you wish that they could get out the smells of the battlefield.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really appreciate the full impact of a battlefield until you can smell it as well as see it and hear it firsthand. I had my experience going around battlefields in Indochina when the French were fighting there. Which was a lot messier and nastier than I understand the battlefields in Korea were.
So that was when it was still a secret, huh, that the U.S. was involved in Vietnam?
Yeah, it was a secret. Most of the American involvement was hired mercenaries, but there were some Air Force and Army personnel that were involved in the war there.
You were in the Air Force?
I was in the Air Force.
Well, I'm glad you're still alive and well and at this protest here against this present slaughter.
Yeah.
So we're just walking through the crowd here. It says, big sign, globalized justice, stop this war, stop oil pollution, stop oil addiction. And we are walking toward the library so we can have a quieter place to talk to the next person. Okay, we are in a somewhat quieter place. And getting to talk to Xu Hung here. Who has been working around the issue of September 11th. And I just saw you at the table over there. People are really pressing in to get information about September 11th. And, of course, there's just so much information that doesn't get out. So what would you like to let people know?
Well, I think it's important for the American people to understand the consequences of 9/11 and to understand that the American people have been lied to about 9/11. And that in order to stop the endless war that George Bush is pursuing around the world, we need to point out the lies about 9/11. We need to point out that he was complicit with that entire event of 9/11.
To what extent do you think, when you say complicit, do you have the answers to those, to all those whys, or just a lot of questions, or what is really known for sure, do you think, and what is, just highly suspicious?
There are lots of holes in the official version of 9/11. For instance, the way that the Twin Tower collapsed. Under normal circumstances, on other occasions, one would think that the Twin Towers would not collapse so systematically. And also on the issue of the stand down, why on the morning of 9/11 they were not able to send up the jets to intercept the airplanes, the hijacked planes. So there are a lot of holes in the official narratives.
And yeah, that's really an amazing one, that no planes went up. They say incompetence. Well, if it was incompetence, I mean, with this most that we put all our tax money into this military and that can't even protect us from the panic, it can't even protect the Pentagon, the White House, and the tall buildings in New York. I mean, that's totally ridiculous. And if it's true, then we should be just as concerned.
Exactly. So instead of bringing the people who were supposed to be in charge on the morning of 9/11 to justice and put them in jail, actually it's the other way around. Those people who were in charge had been promoted since the morning of 9/11. So there's some discrepancies there that needs to be looked into.
Yeah. So if they were really incompetent, one would have thought they would have been punished.
Yeah, they should have been jailed. For failure to do their job to protect this country. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And also what I want to also say is that it's important that right now, we hear a lot of left media critics historically, has been criticizing the mainstream media for suppressing valuable information from the American public. Whereas if you look closely at how they behave on the issue of 9/11, the left media pundits have also failed to do their job in expanding the discourse to challenge the official narratives of 9/11.
Yeah, they don't seem to talk about it much. I mean, they kind of just go along with the official version, which is not real typical of those people necessarily.
And they also try to suppress the people who are talking about it, trying to censor them off the Pacifica radio airwaves. And there are very few journalists who are actually doing their job, you know, the way they should be doing it, as far as continuing the discourse to open up the dialogue. People like Sue Cipriano, for instance, and maybe like Bonnie Faulkner on Guns and Butter at KPFA on Pacifica Radio, there are very few of these journalists who are actually brave enough to come forward and keep this issue at the forefront, whereas the major icons of the left media have been totally silent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to sort it all out. And certainly the media, I mean, everybody talks about the corporate media being so weak and not even really being like journalism anymore. There's no investigation. You want people to know about your website?
As a matter of fact, my website is leftgatekeepers.com. I'll spell it, leftgatekeepers.com. And this website is set up to give out information about the foundation fundings to some of the left media institutions. What I'm trying to do is to expose their connection to the foundation money and hoping that it will expose the reasons why they are keeping quiet on certain crucial issues.
Yeah, it's really hard. We're caught in a capitalist society here, and everybody needs money, and money always has strings attached, and money always comes from the capitalist system. That's the reality.
Yes, I agree. And, I'm a working person, and I have to support a family as well and so forth, and I need money. But I think minimally, they should be honest and upfront about who are they doing business with.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they are even suppressing that information, it becomes suspectful. Yeah.
Okay, anything else you want to add? We have these deception dollars.
Yeah.
They're pretty incredible. I don't know. We don't know if they've made it to the audience yet, since we have such a wide audience here, but they're really making it around Northern California. And I actually been passing them out myself. I just gave a pile to a woman who's going to England, and they're dollars that look like dollars, but they're called deception dollars. And from the state of aggression, and they're covered with websites. That's one way to get out the word. It's very,
right.
Very, very clever. And there is. Do you want to mention any books or any websites or anything?
Check out the Global Research website. That's Professor Michel Shafshadovsky at University of Ottawa, economic professor, and he's been staying on top of this 911 issue, and he has a lot of relevant information. You know, so check out the Global Research website.
Yeah, check it out soon while we still have the internet.
Right. Thank you, Sue.
Okay, thank you, Sue. Okay, you're passing out flyers about Rachel Corrie, who was just an American who was just killed in Israel. You're saying that in the West Bank.
In Gaza.
Okay, and you're saying the media is not covering it, so I just want to, which I know they don't cover a million things. So here we are, the media, the independent media, and I'd be happy for you to tell the story.
Thank you very much. We have to keep this alive. This is Rachel Corrie. She was 23 years old, her whole life ahead of her, to work on causes she believed in. She went over to Gaza to join in nonviolent protests against what Israel is doing to the Palestinian population. She, with a handful of other peaceful activists, stood in front of a Palestinian home to try to prevent that family home from being destroyed.
And she's was 24 or something.
She was 23 years old. She was going to be graduating this spring from Evergreen College. She stood there for 2 hours talking, pleading with the Israeli soldier who was driving this monster bulldozer to not bulldoze the home. Finally, he's moved forward. She was sitting in his path. She got up on the dirt that he'd pushed in front of him, looked at him through the window. He continued going straight forward. She tripped. She couldn't get out of the way. He continued going. He crushed her once. Then he backed up so that he crushed her again. We cannot let this go by. Otherwise, Israel will let this, quote, fog of war, with everyone concentrating in Iraq, if they get away with this murder, if they get away with murdering a peace activist practicing Gandhian protest, they will kill more. Yesterday, they shot another American peace activist in the chest. He was not killed. He was hospitalized. But if we don't all speak about Rachel Corrie, if we don't all speak about the message she was giving, which is to stop Israel's atrocities against the Palestinian population, then they will increase. They will grow even more worse than they already are. We have to remember about Rachel Corrie. The media covered this with one day, one brief news message. If this had been anywhere else on earth, she would have been covered for a week or longer. We should be hearing about her parents' efforts to get her body. Last I heard, her body was not allowed out of Gaza. Last I heard, no one from the State Department has yet even condemned this murder of an American citizen. We cannot let Israel continue getting away with this, or they'll do worse to everyone, the Palestinian population and the international peace activists who are joining them in peaceful protests.
And we have to remember that it's our tax money that, and these two-story-high bulldozers that run over houses and ran over Rachel Corrie are from the United States. And how, I can't remember how much money we give, the United States gives Israel a day.
That's right. We give Israel over $10 million per day, far more than we give anyone else on earth. Yeah. It's our money that did this. Okay. We can stop it by ending our money to Israel now.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
I want to let people know that the sounds we heard in the behind the last little talk were helicopters. Now we're marching down to Union Square in San Francisco. Hi. I see your sign says, "End the real threat to world peace, disarm the Pentagon." Do you work with International Answer?
I help volunteer with them.
They're the ones that organized this demonstration.
Yeah, this is a completely peaceful, legal organization today. It is.
I've heard that the police have been acting really rough and tough. They still look pretty relaxed today. There's, thousands of people out here in the streets of San Francisco.
Yeah, I think so far it's been relaxed because this is pretty organized. But, the police have, I think their duty is to, not allow us to make a dent in any of the stores as far as, the economy is concerned. And, that's basically our strategy is to come out here and to fill the world in solidarity with the world to show that we're not just going to sit on our couches and watch mainstream media tell us what this war is about, because we know what this war is truly about.
Well, sometimes people really don't understand why we want to get in the way of cars that are just going about their business, and it kind of makes people mad. What would you like to say more about that?
Well, I would like to tell those people that, I'm sorry that we are making your lives a little bit harder, but at the same time, the taxes that we as citizens of this country pay go into the military. The military is in another country right now bombing innocent people, and, their lives have changed because of that. So, it's our duty to at least change a little bit of our lives here today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Anything else?
George Bush, his father and his son are the greatest terrorists in this world today.
Oh, I just want to let you know that these helicopters are really hovering around here. And so there's a lot of different sounds, that being one of them. Okay, well, here we have someone to talk about the Peace Army. I wanted you to tell me about the Peace Army. This is David Hartzog. And is that what you call it, the Peace
the
Force?
The Nonviolent Peace Force. Well, millions of us around the world feel that using military means to try to resolve conflicts is totally outdated, immoral, illegal, unconstitutional, against international law. But there does need to be an alternative way to deal with conflicts.
Yeah, because they always come up sooner or later. You give up more than one person.
There are conflicts all around the world, but we need to support the peaceful resolution of conflict. Mahatma Gandhi called for a Shanti Sena, or a nonviolent peace army, and we are trying to realize that vision and recruit and train hundreds and eventually thousands of trained nonviolent peacemakers from all around the world. They could go to conflict areas at the invitation of local peacemakers to help show that the world is watching, to be international eyes, ears, and conscience, and to help discourage death squads and extremists from killing or disappearing, arresting local peacemakers. So our idea is not that we are the peacemakers, but we are there to support the local peacemakers who know the sources of the conflict and the possible solution much better than anybody else. We need to give the political space for them to do that work.
Have you been doing organizing around this? Is it already in process?
Well, we just had our international convening conference in India, where we had 130 people from 47 countries on six continents and 75 member organizations, meaning organizations that are doing peacemaking work that have committed to also helping build the peace force.
Let's take a little bit of a break because it's getting too loud. If you could stick around for a second here. Well, that was a band, and it's some people think it's weird that there's music and people feel joyful, but we're trying to create another kind of society here. There's no point in feeling terrible all the time. We feel good about what we're doing. So back to the Peace Force. David.
So we now have an international governing council, which has representatives of groups from all over the world and from all continents, and we have decided on Sri Lanka as our pilot project. Sri Lanka is a place that's been a civil war for 20 years. There is there's an agreement between the two sides to make peace, but there are extremists on both sides that want to get back to war. So we're there to support the local peacemakers to try to help keep them on the path to peace.
So you have some folks there already?
We have folks there already. We are also exploring a potential role in Israel-Palestine and in Korea and in Burma.
And how do people get in touch with you if they want to know more or even sign up for this Peace Force?
Our website is www.nonviolentpeaceforce.org, or our phone number in San Francisco is 415-751-0302.
Okay, thanks. And I want to let people know that you've been involved in doing Gandhian nonviolent peace work for how many years, David?
I met Martin Luther King in 1956, so that's 47 years, something like that.
Yeah. And how are you feeling right now about how things are going? Oh, here are the police all lined up on their motorcycles at the end of the march, though. So
it's totally discouraging and disgusting what the Bush administration is doing in the face of world public opinion, but it is hopeful that I think the world public opinion is getting organized and say, we will not put up with this. This is not acceptable. We will put our bodies in the way of allowing this war to continue. And this is one manifestation of that in San Francisco, but there are millions of people all over the world that are saying no to this war. And it's about time, as President Eisenhower said, that the people want peace so much that the politicians ought to get out of the way and let them have it.
There's so few of them, too. It seems like we should be able to. I heard 5,000 people in the United States really are the ones that are behind this. That's not very many people out of all the people in the United States.
I think there's less.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Well, I'm really struck by your sign. The Germans failed to protest in 1939. So I wonder if you would like to say more about that, because I think that is kind of a main point.
We thought of this on the way up. In fact, we go to Tom Lantos's office every Thursday and protest at 5 to 6 p.m. And I'm going to put on the sign in the back, Holocaust, with a no symbol through it on the back in front of Tom Lantos's office.
Uh-huh. Great. Anything? Where are you from?
Foster City.
Uh-huh. Is there anything else you want to say? This just strikes you, obviously, like the Nazi period in Germany.
Yes, this is just like the Nazi period in Germany.
Okay, I'm noticing your sign here. You got a picture of a bicycle, and the wheels of peace use no gas. So, and we got the helicopter up above. So your sign about the wheels of peace use no gas in a bicycle. Do you want to say any more about that?
Well, I think one of the key things here is that in a world of dwindling resources that have been used way too fast, we really need to start considering the long term here and how resources are distributed, because that's going to be the key thing in global security and preventing this kind of violence and chaos in the world. You know, if you had like a gallon of water for your entire span of life on planet Earth, would you be drinking that last quart of water as soon as possible, or would you be drinking it a little bit at a time and maybe thinking about how to, you know, change to some other kind of thing like fresh fruit or something instead of water? Where are we going to take this? Are we going to take it in a peaceful direction, or are we going to take it in a complete chaos direction?
Really good point. And I guess actually, speaking of a piece of fruit, we could actually run cars with vegetable oil.
Yeah, that's what I understand. And there's quite a few people doing that. There's collectives starting to happen in various places.
Yeah, well, there go to the police. I wonder what they're going to do now. Anyway, thank you very much. Anything else anybody wants to say?
Well, many things. I would say read international news as much as possible. UN has some really beautiful non-commercial news that's trying to resolve some of the international conflicts. So I mean, that's one thing. So many things. Panoramic awareness. Peace, love, and homegrown vegetables.
Thank you. And as the police are approaching here and the march is going past, I'm going to sign off. We're in San Francisco, March 22nd. And right now I'm on Market Street, going from Civic Center to Union Square, where all the big fancy stores are. So my name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening. To order a copy of the program you just heard, write down the following information. The email is sue@suesupriano.com. That's Sue, S-U-E, at Sue Supriano, SUESUPRIANO.com. Or the telephone is 510-883-1979. That's 510-883-1979.